The Squiddy Nurse Podcast episode is brought to you by healthcareproviders.ca.
Attention, hospital employees and retirees in Canada.
Picture this, a benefit plan designed for casual and part-time hospital employees and retirees who aren't covered by their hospital's group health plan. Introducing Healthcare Providers Group Insurance Plan, a friendly partner dedicated to your health and well-being. With affordable plan premiums and an exceptional support team, Healthcare Providers, also known as HCP, is dedicated to helping you every step of the way. Enrolling is easy, and you'll have access to a wide range of health and basic dental benefits from day one. Already have coverage through your spouse? HCP still has your back. For less than $32 a month, the Signature Package, which includes life, long-term disability, accidental death, disease, and dismemberment, provides valuable income protection and peace of mind for the unexpected. Take charge of your health and financial security today. Visit healthcareproviders.ca to learn more.
Nurses are critical in providing high-quality care, but they are facing many challenges in their day-to-day work. High patient loads, burnout, and stress, among other factors, are causing many nurses to leave the profession. We need them to stay. We need to support nurses. As Chief Nursing Officer, I've been working with members of the nursing community to develop the Nursing Retention Toolkit for employers and health authorities, which can help improve the working lives of nurses by optimizing the work environment. This toolkit was created by and for nurses and focuses on 8 core themes: inspired leadership, flexible and balanced ways of working, organizational mental health and wellness supports, professional development and mentorship, reduced administrative burden, strong management and communication, clinical governance and infrastructure, safe staffing practices. Each of the core themes are underpinned by the values of respect, transparency, anti-racism and anti-oppression, and accountability. We encourage employers to engage nurses in their review and implementation of the toolkit so that together we can better support the nurses who care for us and our loved ones when we need it the most. To consult the toolkit, visit canada.ca/nursing toolkit.
Is this thing on?
I think they can hear us a bit better now. Do you think they are ready to change the status quo?
It's one thing to get them listening, but now let's get them to act.
You're now about to witness the strength of nursing knowledge.
Hi, and welcome to the Gritty Nurse Podcast, an unfiltered and unapologetic podcast which discusses health and healthcare. My name is Amy.
My name is Sarah.
And we are your hosts.
Don't forget to hit the subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts: Google, Spotify, iTunes, or our YouTube page. Please rate and review us.
Make sure you get our book, The Wisdom of Nurses, coming April 2nd, 2024. There's no better gift than giving the wisdom of nurses to nurses during Nursing Week.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Gritty Nurse Podcast. We are doing a really hot episode today. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Amy.
And we are your podcast hosts. So today we have an awesome episode today. We have an amazing guest that we've had before. This is more of a part two on a similar topic. So I would like to introduce Dr. Lee Chapman. She is the Federal Chief Nursing Officer of Canada. And for those of you that don't know her, she is amazing. She is doing so many great things. Lee, would you mind telling our listeners that didn't listen to the first episode a little bit about yourself and what it is that you do?
Sure. Thank you so much for having me, Sarah and Amy. It's great to be with the Gritty Nurses again. So I'm Lee. I've been in the Chief Nursing Officer role now for about 18 months, since August of 2022. And that's when the role was reinstated after a more than a decade-long vacancy and not having a federal Chief Nursing Officer for Canada. I've been a nurse for over 20 years now in a variety of settings. I'm an RN from Ontario. And I'm really, really delighted to be chatting with you both today.
Yeah, we're always excited to have you on and to hear of all of the various different things that you're doing. Like, you're here, you're there, you're everywhere. You're in Northwest Territories, you're there. I'm just like, wow. Like, I'm amazed and in awe at how many places. And I think it's so important for nurses to see that visibility of you being out everywhere and really reaching out to nurses, not just, from your home area, which is Ontario. Woo-woo, we're going to raise ourselves up a little bit, but just to be able to go out to other provinces all across Canada and to spread the message in terms of the work that you're doing. So again, I applaud you. I mean, I'm sure that you're definitely going to need a break, but thank you for all of the great work that you've been doing. So we appreciate it.
Thanks so much. I one of the things I committed to doing and when I was appointed was visiting every province and territory to better understand nursing from coast to coast to coast. And so I've just completed that cross Canada tour, but definitely haven't hit, I've hit every province and territory, but haven't hit every spot in Canada. It's impossible. Our geography
Yeah,
is
it's
so
so
huge,
large.
but I'm really, really lucky to have been able to meet nurses from, I can actually say from coast to coast to coast, because I was up above the Arctic Circle by the Arctic Ocean. So it's really great to be able to get that pan-Canadian perspective of nursing to inform policy and decision making at the federal level.
Yeah, no,
Definitely.
that's so amazing. And so today we're going to kind of talk a little bit more about the Nursing Retention Toolkit. So previously we touched on it. Sarah and I were involved to help support and kind of be a voice from Ontario. And I think one of the things is, I think it might be just good to give maybe a very quick brief overview, maybe like just 1 to 2 minutes in your own words, Lee. I know 1 to 2 minutes, I'm cruel, of really what the Nursing Retention Toolkit is for those who might not be aware of it. So just what is it that was done back way back when? And I guess was it February? It feels like it was February, but I can't remember.
So it was June.
June. Oh my gosh, it was warm. I'm so bad.
June of last year. But actually February was when we launched the advisory committee. So I held an advisory committee. We met for the first time on February 15th last year. And really had, since I was appointed into the role, there were calls to hold a forum, bring nurses together, convene nurses. We really landed on this idea of retention and including return, a return of nurses who may have left the public sector, a return of nurses who may have sought early retirement. We need their expertise and we need them back in the public sector. So settled on this idea of retention because there was so much work being done on recruitment, but we know we can't recruit our way out of this health workforce crisis. So we need to really look at how we're valuing and utilizing nurses. So that sort of led to the Nursing Retention Forum with participants from across Canada. And you were both, key participants and key members in co-facilitating the day of the forum. And really the forum was an opportunity for us to co-develop the recommendations and the initiatives, as well as to come up with a lot of these reference resources and examples. So the toolkit is not just promising and best practices, but it also provides many, many examples. The majority, over 90% of them, are from a Canadian context of where these things have already been implemented. And so often the question, from healthcare leaders, from planners, administrators is, where do I start? And I think we've given, we, this is really a playbook for nursing retention in Canada, and we've given all kinds of examples so that folks know where to start. The other question is often, what about money? But we saw a record investment in healthcare last year of over $200 billion, and those bilateral agreements for the health funding are currently being signed. Several jurisdictions have already signed. So we, with that record investment, with this toolkit, I think there's really an opportunity to move the needle on nursing retention in Canada.
I think that's really valuable because there's a lot of talk about retention in general, but not specific to nursing. And we are such a big group that I think we deserve some resources. So it's so great that you put this together. I remember the day that we met up, there was so much diversity in the participants, right? From nursing students to registered practical nurses to leadership, like just everybody seemed to be represented. And if anybody hasn't looked at the Nursing Retention Toolkit, if you Google it, you'll find it online. There's a comprehensive report and a framework. And I know that Lee, there's been some talk about updates to the toolkit. Is there anything that's been updated since it came out last year or anything in the works?
Yeah, so just to your earlier point, you know, nursing is the largest group of regulated health professionals in Canada. So that's really why we had this uni-professional focus of, you know, creating a toolkit that was buy-in for nurses. But that's not to say that we don't all work and play in this interprofessional team-based context. But we need, you know, some focused attention on the nursing workforce. And that was really the intent of the toolkit. So we, you know, after we held the forum, we held a number of validation sessions all summer and into the fall to make sure we were actually getting it right, that we actually heard what nurses said and reflected that in the toolkit. So we released the executive summary of the toolkit just prior to the federal, provincial, and territorial health ministers meeting in October, and that's on the Canada.ca website. The ministers actually agreed to support the dissemination and implementation of the toolkit, which I think is really, really promising. And so, you know, the toolkit is still as you see it on the Canada.ca website with the 8 themes, and then several initiatives. Most of the themes have 3 initiatives, under each of them, except for the safe staffing practices, which just has 2. But then the full toolkit will have all of those reference resources and examples, and that will be released very soon.
Yeah, you know, I think it's really important that nurses do see this toolkit. And I think that was one of the things that actually kind of came out when we were out in Alberta, because we actually talked about the toolkit out there. We're just everywhere we go, we're talking about the toolkit because we think we actually really value the work that went through it. And we think it's really important. So recently when we were in Alberta, we received some questions from the audience, and we promised that we'd actually try to come back to the UNA with some of these questions. And they're like, hey, can you ask? And we said, of course, we'll ask. So one of the questions that they had asked us were, are there any provinces who started already some integration or talks of implementation of the toolkit? And has there been any identified quick wins? Because again, one of the things that we did with the group, which was really cool, is we took the 8 initiatives and we kind of said, we did kind of like a Mentimeter with the crew. And we said, hey, if you're looking at these 8 initiatives, we know that we can't do everything all at once, but what was the most meaningful initiative to the group that spoke to them? Of course, safe staffing was number one, and then scheduling. So really what I kind of want to know, again, just back to the questions, have there been any identified quick wins or any provinces that are kind of making their ways to say, hey, we got to really start doing this work?
Yeah, thank you for doing that. You're already doing some wonderful dissemination and polling of the toolkit, which is fantastic. I would say, you know, as we were developing the toolkit, there were a lot of initiatives already underway in several jurisdictions. So we were able to highlight those, not all of them. I mean, it's not exhaustive. It's impossible to catch and capture sort of everything that's happening across the country. But I would say, you know, one of the top questions I get from nurses across the country is around safe staffing practices. And so I think it was historic for Canada that the BC Nurses Union negotiated ratios in collaboration with the BC government. And that's just being implemented now through strong nursing leadership. And so we're all sort of waiting to see what that looks like and what impact it has. The Nova Scotia Nurses Union also implemented guaranteed minimum staffing. And so I think, you know, that's another signal to safe staffing practices that nurses can't provide competent care when they have 30 patients or clients or residents. Right. And it just creates that sense of moral distress, which actually erodes our sense of professionalism, and it impacts patient care ultimately. So I think, you know, those are some examples. I, you know, one of the examples that I often cite is around flexible and balanced ways of working. You know, this is something that I think COVID has really forced a reimagination of how we balance work and life. And the Manitoba Provincial Float Pool through Shared Health is really, really a wonderful example of, you know, providing flexibility and options for flexibility for nurses who are working in the public sector, but also giving them a variety or varied practice environments where their travel and accommodation is compensated, but they're still part of the public system. So with this like exodus of nurses into private travel and agency nursing, you know, this is an opportunity, I think, through the Manitoba Float Pool to bring nurses back into the public sector. So definitely some, I would say, early wins, some, and that's really at the provincial level, but organizations are also, you know, taking this, using it for strategic planning or benchmarking, which is really great to see.
Yeah, that's really positive. Sorry, that's really positive to hear that there's so much already happening. And just speaking about the nursing shortage, I think this would not be a comprehensive episode if we didn't touch upon that. But I've been seeing just in the media, you know, certain politicians are talking about how many nursing positions have been added during the pandemic. But I think the part that's missing is how many nurses have left. So I was just wondering if you could talk about what your thoughts are on why there's a lack of data related to who is actually currently in the workforce, because having these numbers would probably inform some of the decision making that is happening right now.
Yeah, so the data on workforce is really tricky. And I think, you know, one of the metrics we often use is vacancy rates, which only speak to current sort of positions. And I think the retention toolkit also shows us that we need to look at models of care and how we better optimize the essential work that nurses do. But, you know, data is a huge priority for this government. And we just announced Health Workforce Canada in December and are really looking at creating this, I would say, data hub that can do some of the forecasting and the modeling on supply and demand projections in Canada. Because, you know, as you say, you know, we have data on nurses sort of in the profession, but not nurses who are leaving and the attrition that's happening. Sometimes the vacancy rates are a proxy for that. There's also been a really concerted effort to increase seats in nursing education programs across the country, which is wonderful to see, but we have to consider that when the service side of healthcare delivery is strained, so too is the education side. So we need, and we have faculty shortages too, right? So we just need to ensure that we're, you know, having a careful eye to quality of nursing education and ensuring that our graduates remain. And the only way to do that is by focused work on retention.
This podcast episode is brought to you by healthcareproviders.ca. Attention Hospital HR in Canada. Are you in search for the perfect insurance solution for your part-time and casual employees? Look no further. Meet Healthcare Providers Group Insurance Plan, your go-to option for ensuring the well-being of your team. With Healthcare Providers, also known as HCP, you're not just providing insurance, you're offering peace of mind. HCP's comprehensive coverage includes medical, dental, and vision benefits designed to keep your part-time employees healthy and happy. There's even a package that includes life, long-term disability, accidental death, disease and dismemberment, coverage for those who have already had benefits through their spouse. It's time to bridge the gap between full-time and part-time staff benefits. With Healthcare Providers Group Insurance Plan, you can level the playing field and show your commitment to all of your team members. Join the community of over 90 plus forward-thinking hospital HR managers who've made the smart choice. Visit healthcareproviders.ca today to discover how HCP can help support your team in a meaningful way.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. It was definitely another question that came out through our conversation with the United Nurses of Alberta, just really kind of saying, you know, how do we pivot if we don't know where we actually are? And again, this is more specific to Ontario, but seeing these kind of ad campaigns where a lot of nurses are felt we're seeing, oh, there's 80,000 new nurses in the workforce, and we're just like, well, where actually are they? Because we're the ones in the hospital, but we're not seeing that those data. So I think having those numbers will really help inform the way that we kind of move forward. I did want to kind of circle back because you had mentioned that previously when we were talking about, you know, quick wins and folks that were doing some implementation. One of the questions again that came out from the United Nurses of Alberta and just even our own general questioning is how do we approach this not siloed? So, you know, I think we need to learn from each other, right? So BC already has got something really good going. How do we take something like that and continue to translate it and adopt it? Is there any way that, you know, we work together? Like, I know there's like the CFNU, but that's strictly like the union side. But how do we, you know, take learnings or quick wins from other provinces like BC or Nova Scotia that you mentioned, so we can all do this work together? Because I feel like every time we get something really great, there's these siloed approaches and we just don't have that synergy together. So is there any thoughts in terms of how we make this a little bit more synergistic across the provinces?
Yeah,
So
it's a really astute, no, it's a really astute question. Like, I think that is the perennial challenge in a federated model, right? So we fund healthcare federally, but then how it is delivered and organized
right.
very much up to the provinces and territories. But I would say that collaboration is definitely happening. You know, we play an important convening role federally, and that's a really important leadership role. One of the groups that I co-chair is the Principal Nursing Advisors Task Force, which is comprised of all of the provincial and territorial government chief nursing officers or equivalent. And so we're working very collaboratively on implementation of the toolkit and really dissemination. And it does help to break down some of those jurisdictional and organizational silos, as you mentioned.
Yeah, no, that's actually really great to hear, because I think, you know, other people had this a similar question to say, like, okay, this is all really great work, but how do we make sure that we're, you know, we're learning from each other? We're not trying to recreate the mold. But I guess kind of in line with that, have you identified any barriers or challenges related to implementation of the toolkit? And then just kind of like how have you maybe dealt with them in terms of conversation or even just making tweaks and changes?
Yeah, I think, you know, sometimes the challenge is that, you know, this does the nursing retention toolkit really is about looking at how we're valuing nursing work, and it will require an investment. And so that
Right.
is sort of a pivot in strategy. If we think of, you know, operational constraints and challenges, you know, we don't want to close emergency departments. We don't want to have prolonged wait times for surgeries, for example. We want people to have access to care. So that requires some really important operational decisions. And at the same time, we need strategic decisions. We need an investment in nursing retention because that's the only way out of this endless cycle, really, of, you know, not having enough nurses and relying on, you know, really private sector nurses, private agency nurses. Yeah, I mean, I think it's really challenging for employers and health authorities when they're grappling with these tough operational decisions. You know, at the same time, nurses have the autonomy to choose where they work and
Right.
what kind of work they do, and we absolutely support that. But I do firmly believe that through implementation of the nursing retention toolkit, we can actually make the public sector workplaces and in terms of publicly funded healthcare much more appealing to nurses who may be working in private agency nurses or travel nurses by implementing strategies around safe staffing practices, flexible and balanced ways of working, mental health and wellness supports, effective leadership practices, and so on. I think that is the remedy, but that requires investment and it also requires a focused strategy.
Yeah, no,
Definitely.
I think you hit the nail on the head right there. I think, you know, we continue hearing the conversation surrounding privatized, you know, having staffing agencies and having nurses in these positions. And I think we have to, we do have to think creatively. We have to think about why these positions exist, why nurses lean towards, not all nurses, but why some nurses lean towards this. And I think that, you know, you touched on the things that really matter to nurses. And I think, again, you're right, a record investment needs to be made from organizations to make sure that they do keep and retain nurses. And I think that's, like, this is why we keep saying it's a retention forum, it's a retention toolkit. And I really hope that folks out there in these healthcare walls are really going to take this seriously and put their money where their mouth is, to say, hey, you know what, if we want to maintain and have nurses here, this is what we need to do. I don't know if you recently saw, I think it was on Instagram, California sent out, I think they did something like $100,000 nursing retention bonus for over a period of 3 years. And of course, their hospital is now fully staffed. But again, I think, again, the question is, like, what's going to happen 3 years later? But the point is, up front, they made an investment in their nurses. So I'm going to be very curious to see how, you know, our health authorities, how our hospitals really look at implementing this and putting their money where their mouth is. Sorry, Sarah, go ahead.
No, definitely. I think that I really look towards people that are innovative and doing things like implementing safe staffing ratios. And California is one of those states. And I think that nurses do want to stay in the hospital. I do believe at the end of the day they do, but we're just not creating environments that are conducive to that. And so any nurse that leaves, it's not an easy decision. It's a difficult one that they make, and they don't make it lightly. So I think that I'm really glad, Lee, that you have put this at the forefront. I know this is one of your major initiatives when you first took the role. And I'm just wondering, when you started working on the toolkit, what was your long-term vision, or what do you hope to achieve out of the toolkit for nurses and patients and families?
Well, I think ultimately, you know, when we think about retention, it's ultimately an issue of quality of care. If nurses are happy, and, you know, if we fix the issues that are plaguing the nursing profession, we actually fix the healthcare system. So you've mentioned, you know, nurses in hospital. And I think part of the moral distress that nurses in hospital feel is the boomerang that happens, you know, of discharging patients and they don't have access to primary care or appropriate follow-ups, or they're going into, you know, situations that are unsafe in terms of where they're living. They don't have access to the things they need to be well. And that means that they boomerang back into the system with great cost to the system. So we also need this system transformation. We need access to primary care to occur at the same time. I think, you know, when we started the journey of the Nursing Retention Toolkit, you know, it was really compelling for us to work with a researcher, Dr. Linda McGillis Hall, who's been studying nursing retention for several decades, and said that, you know, post-COVID, I know we still have endemic COVID among us, but I think in this, you know, 3+ years into a global pandemic, she said that what nurses are saying they want and need is quite different. So I really did feel that what we have put into the toolkit is innovative. And what's interesting across the country in talking about the toolkit is that I'm getting a response from nurses who have said, I mean, they're very enthusiastic about the toolkit, there's no question. But I've also had nurses saying, this is what we've been saying in the profession for a long time, but we've seen it all together in one document. And to have it all together in one document that is a Government of Canada document holds a lot of power. And I think that's what nurses are so jazzed about, because it is really a one-stop shop. It's a playbook for how we actually look at optimizing the essential work that nurses do. The response has been overwhelmingly positive and enthusiastic, which is great. I think perhaps the one surprise is that nurses have said, this is so validating. It's what we've been saying in the profession for so long. And I think that really speaks volume to the volumes about the co-development of involving nurses in the creation of the toolkit. It is by nurses and for nurses, and it is in a language that is very familiar, I think, to many nurses.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think it'll be really actually great if we can maybe reach out to the UNA and even share just the polling and some of the questions we ask, because I think that might even give you a little bit more insight to those that frontline perspective to see how validating it really was for them to say, wow, this, like you said, this is what we've been talking about for years and years, and now we see it in this kind of living document. And they were excited. So I think that's actually a really good thing. And I think that, we are looking forward to seeing what else is going to come out and what else is going to happen as we continue to roll out and implement the toolkit in the future. One of the things that we wanted to touch on, and I think you kind of touched on it a little bit, was the toolkit will actually improve not just the health of nurses and the nursing workforce, but as well as the health of all Canadians. Can you maybe touch on how the toolkit actually might do that in a different way? So our patients and families who might be listening, how that might improve their health and their conditions when they come into the hospital.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that gets a lot of attention in the media is burnout. And I
Right.
often, try to shift the narrative from burnout to actually looking at moral distress, and that this is actually more of a structural problem, and in terms of not valuing the nursing, the work that nurses do. And the autonomous work that nurses do. When I think of nursing from a pan-Canadian perspective, there's so much that nurses do very autonomously, still within a collaborative environment, but nurses are really running the show in rural and remote areas, as well as
Yep.
in northern areas. And I think that we can learn from that in urban centers. And so we need to really optimize how we are utilizing nurses. We are finite resources. Although we are the largest group of nurse of health prof regulated health professionals in Canada, we still are, operating in the context of a global nursing shortage. So I think, what patients need is nurses to be happy about the work they do, to be satisfied, to feel a sense of fulfillment, to be able to enact their professionalism and not be in this environment that is so strained that it's actually causing them great harm,
Right.
personally and professionally. And I think that's why we're seeing the exodus that we're seeing. So people need to feel value in the work. This is really kind of, part of self-actualization if we go back to like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And people need that sense of fulfillment. So patients benefit from that too. Obviously, they benefit from optimal nursing care, from nurses who are, liberated to actually do what they're competent to do, and not be so strained. So I think it really is about shifting how we are valuing nursing work, and make, ultimately, I hope we can make nursing a profession of choice, because as much as nurses have the ability to bankrupt our healthcare system in terms of the exodus into private and agency nursing also has the ability to save public healthcare in Canada as we know it. And I think that there's great power in that. And nurses, I think, want to support our publicly funded system. And that obviously is benefit to all people living in Canada.
No, I think I couldn't have said that any better myself. I think that's exactly what, our patients and families want to hear. And I think that, again, we continue to encourage folks to and nurses even themselves to say, hey, this is what's happening, and even sharing a story or an example. Cause I think, I know patients see it, right? And I think I've been seeing a little bit more of even the shift in dialogue online in various different spaces that patients and families are understanding that, nurses are dealing with moral distress, and they want to be able to help and participate too. So I think that's such a rewarding feeling for nurses to say that, we're not alone. And the other piece is feeling that we're heard, right? So I think that, as much as we want to value our work and want our work to be valued, we want to also feel that whatever we're saying, we're actually being heard and validated in that way. So, and I feel like that zeitgeist is starting to shift, and we're starting to hear more nurses, and nurses are being validated in those ways. So I think that's really, really a great and amazing thing, and it does reflect in the way that patients' healthcare outcomes can be seen as well. Before we go, is there anything that we missed that we didn't touch on today, or anything, any little tidbits that you want to share with us in terms of, health and healthcare in Canada?
I mean, I think I really do believe that we're at a bit of a tipping point now where COVID has been a bit of an unveiling. Many people talk about this in terms of, who has access to care, who doesn't have access, who's adversely impacted by the pandemic. I mean, I certainly appreciated that working with people experiencing homelessness. And people who use drugs over the course of the pandemic and in trying to essentially set up a healthcare system to serve them. But I think nurses know what is needed. They know what we know what is needed in terms of the healthcare system. We have a vital role to play in terms of looking at models of care and look at how we can better meet patients, clients, families, residents' needs. And I think there are these amazing models of nursing practice across the country that we all need to learn from each other. So I think it's really a time for sort of this cross-pollination of ideas, finding the ideas that can be scaled and spread across the country. It's not a time, I mean, certainly it's a time for innovation. We can't exist in healthcare without innovation, right? There's
Right.
always new interventions, always new drugs, always new things that we have to learn. But it's also a time where we can scale and spread innovations that are already being implemented with great success in Canada, and we can learn from our colleagues, whether they're neighboring organizations or neighboring jurisdictions. And I think we need to really rethink competition in healthcare because we're competing for the same human resource talent, we're competing for funding and things like that. And I think, this is really a time for collaboration and leadership, and the toolkit provides many examples of both of those things. So, but I, really ultimately it's up to us to ensure that it is not a static document, that it is a
Right.
working, breathing, living toolkit. And that's really up to all of us as nurses to ensure that it gets lots of traction and does help improve the working lives of nurses in Canada.
Lee, thank you so much for the work that you've put in. It's evident that you put nurses first, and you're really advancing the profession and being very innovative. So thank you for everything that you've brought to the table. Thank you for coming onto the Gritty Nurse podcast. As always, it's a welcome invitation to come back on again and discuss other issues. We'd always love to speak with you.
Amazing. Likewise, I'm a huge, huge Gritty Nurse fan. So thank you so much for having me and for the opportunity. I never miss an opportunity to talk about the toolkit. So I'm really pleased to be with you today. And thanks for your amazing work as well in uplifting the profession in Canada. It's so important.
Yeah, thank you. And I think that, we will continue to do our due diligence, that when we have the opportunity and we're out and we're available to speak to nurses, that we'll continue to talk about the toolkit as well. So thank you so much for all of your hard work, and I'm sure we'll be talking again in the future.
Amazing. I look forward to it. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Gritty Nurse podcast. If you have any suggestions or want to hear a specific topic, email us at grittynurses@gmail.com. That's grittynurses@gmail.com.
We are also speakers and upcoming authors available for engagements related to advocacy, nursing, mental health, and health policy. Please connect with us.